It's Tuesday afternoon, November 5th. Good afternoon. It's 63 degrees in Richland Center at 12:08. For WRCO News, I'm Joanne Krulatz. Today, voters across the country will elect a new president. Voters will also be electing representatives to Congress and U.S. senators. In our listening area, voters will be choosing between incumbent Derek Van Orden or his challenger Rebecca Cook for Congress, and Senator Tammy Baldwin is being challenged by Eric Hovde. Around the state, there are a number of state Senate and Assembly races with the new legislative maps. As a result, voters in Richland County will be choosing a new state senator. Senator Joan Balwig was drawn into the district and faces a challenge from Sarah Kieski. Senator Howard Markline was drawn out of the Richland County District. In the Assembly, Richland County will now be represented by one representative. Current Representative Tony Kurtz, who has represented the City of Richland Center, is being challenged by Julia Henley. Two other Assembly representatives who also covered areas of Richland County, Travis Tranel and Todd Novak, were drawn out of the district. Voters will also be electing local county positions, such as county clerk, register of deeds, and county treasurer. There is one race in Richland County, and that is for register of deeds between Michelle Brown and Deb McCoy. Also on today's ballot, voters in 121 school districts will be asked yes or no on referendum questions. Districts are seeking a total of over $4.2 billion from local taxpayers to operations and facility projects. Locally, the Ithaca School District is asking voters to approve an operational referendum in the amount of $1.3 million each year for its duration of 4 years. As its name implies, revenue received via an operational referendum is used to meet the cost associated with operating the district, which may include attract and retain qualified teachers, Chromebooks for one-to-one instruction, access points to provide a reliable internet connection school-wide, additional safety operations, and a school bus with the intention of returning to a biannual purchase rotation to minimize repair costs. In addition, the Baraboo School District is seeking $85.7 million. The Iowa Grant District is seeking $1.2 million. The Lafarge School District is seeking $900,000. The Wisconsin Dells District is seeking $4.5 million. And the Reedsburg District has two referendum questions totaling $30 million. With the many items on the ballot, you may wonder when results will be available. Megan Wolf is the administrator of the Wisconsin Elections Commission.
Here in the state of Wisconsin, you know, our process and our law is a little bit different than other states. Once the election officials start to canvass the absentee ballots, so once they start counting, tabulating votes, they have to continue. They're not able to adjourn and reconvene. And so all of that has to happen in one fell swoop. And so the election officials, you know, will continue counting votes until all of the votes have been counted accurately and with integrity, and of course, in the public eye.
With the tight margins seen in Wisconsin, there is a very real possibility that there will be a recount.
The state of Wisconsin, we typically see some pretty close margins. I believe of the last six presidential elections, four of those have been within the recount margin. The recount margin is 1% or less between the top two vote getters. So that's a very, very tight margin.
But Wolf says the WEC is prepared for the possibility of a recount.
They're making sure that all of the details are prepared for a potential recount so that our local election officials are ready to be able to staff a potential recount. They know how they do things like collect the cost of a potential recount. We know how we'll collect data from unofficial results to determine whether or not someone falls into the margin that qualifies for a recount. And so they're really looking to establish all of those fine points of how a recount would operate ahead of the election so that if we do find ourselves with a contest where there's a recount, that we're ready, we're prepared, that everybody knows exactly how it's going to proceed.
Polls are open and will remain open until 8 tonight. Voters need to be in line by 8 in order to vote.
On Election Day, voters in Wisconsin have to be in line by 8 p.m. in order to vote. And so if somebody shows up at, you know, 8:01, They're not going to be able to get in line to vote. In most polling places, what they're going to do and the best practice is they're going to send one of their election inspectors out to mark the line at 8 o'clock. And so that shows that anybody that's in front of them was in line by 8 o'clock, but anybody that would like to join the line behind them is not going to be able to because they joined after 8 o'clock. But a voter that is in line by 8 o'clock on election night will be able to vote.
We will have election updates on WRCO 100.9 FM this evening. Scott Klug is an author, businessman, as well as a former politician and television reporter. From 1991 to 1999, he was a Republican member of the United States House of Representatives from Wisconsin, representing Wisconsin's 2nd Congressional District. Klug did not run for re-election in 1998, and his term expired on January 3, 1999. Prior to serving in Congress, Klug was a television journalist for 14 years, serving as anchor and reporter for various stations in Seattle, Washington, Madison, Wisconsin, and Washington, D.C. Scott Klug currently serves as Director of Public Affairs for Foley & Lardner, a Wisconsin-based law firm, and represents clients in Washington and various state capitals. Scott Klug joined WRCO's Phil Nee on the morning show yesterday to discuss the 2024 election. Phil asked him about the group he is currently affiliated with and what their thoughts are on safe and secure elections in Wisconsin.
I think there's been a lot of claims around the country about election fraud, and I'm part of a bipartisan group in Wisconsin and all the other battleground states, essentially saying, you know, the system works pretty well. And so my sort of partners in crime are J.B. Van Hollen, who is a former Republican attorney general who's from Bayfield, Mandela Barnes, who ran for Democratic Senator against Ron Johnson last election cycle, and then Mike Tate, who's the former Democratic chair of the state party. And I think the message we just want to deliver is that Wisconsin elections are safe and secure. A lot of the safeguards people want states to have, like voter ID, have been in place in Wisconsin for a long, long time. And I think it's important to send the message to people that their votes count, and we need everybody we can to get to the polls tomorrow.
Local election clerks have faced and will face unfair accusations, according to Klug, and that makes doing the job very difficult. So difficult, many have simply quit.
Well, you know, half of the election officials in the country have quit since 2020. And people, you know, I talked to folks in the podcast I do about the lost political middle, folks who were, you know, Democratic in Democratic cities and the very Republican state of Idaho, where people just got frustrated. And my mother-in-law worked for a million years as an election worker in Merrill, Wisconsin, just north of Wausau. You know, and there's no vast conspiracy going on, but people just got tired of the accusations. I talked to the guy who's the Secretary of State in Idaho, Phil McGrath, who's a Republican, and I said, is it easier because you're a Republican Secretary of State in a Republican state? And he said, no, not really. And he said, I've got my frequent flyers. I mean, we've got folks coming to the office every other day asking questions about how the system works, how that piece of machinery works, how that software works. And he said, fine, I'm glad to be transparent, but there's, you know, think about trying to do your job when somebody's standing behind you over your shoulder, and it makes people nervous. And, you know, I just think of my mother-in-law in this case, who, you know, handed out ballots in the basement of a Lutheran church in central Wisconsin. And so I think this sort of sense of a grand conspiracy doesn't really hold water.
Wisconsin and Pennsylvania do not allow for the counting of early ballots until after the polls close, and this fact can cause confusion as numbers fluctuate greatly in a short period of time. Klug reminds us that does not mean there is fraud, it just means large numbers of votes, many from the same geographic region, are being counted at one time. The complete interview with Scott Klug can be heard at WRCO.com. Wisconsin Secretary of State Sarah Godlewski was in Richland Center Monday afternoon stumping for Kamala Harris and the Democratic ticket. She looks forward to a promising future and a Democratic win.
I'm really optimistic. You know, I've been traveling the state heavily since June, over 9,000 miles, and What I get so encouraged about is the people who are first-time Democratic voters that are saying, I have voted for Republicans my entire life, but I can't vote for whether it's a convicted felon that includes being, you know, liable for sexual assault, to what he's done to this country. I mean, the attack on democracy in January 6th, to, you know, Foxconn in our economy here in Wisconsin. And Kamala Harris is this level of hope, whether it's the work that she has done fighting for reproductive rights, to the economy here when she's talking about home ownership. All of that matters to voters, and I am really optimistic for the election tomorrow.
She says many are voting for a Democratic candidate for the first time.
I will just take an example. I talked to a couple from Crawford County in southwestern Wisconsin, and they, for the first time, were not just voting for Democrat at the top of the ticket with Kamala Harris and Tim Walz. They were voting Democrat, and they were doing it the entire ticket because they are like, I believe that the Republican Party that I grew up and was a part of is too extreme today. And we are seeing that, whether it is in Washington, D.C., and you see like January 6th, to not being able to even vote for the Right to Contraception Act, to right here in Wisconsin and Madison, where they failed to remove an 1849 abortion ban. And so that level of extremism, I believe, in the conversations I've been having, we are seeing these first-time Democratic voters from the top of the ticket all the way down to the state legislative races.
Today is Election Day, and polls are open until 8. Tune in to WRCO FM 100.9 or WRCO.com for election updates tonight. Her running mate, Minnesota Governor Tim Walz, campaigned in La Crosse Monday on behalf of Vice President Kamala Harris. Walz told a group of supporters that his campaign with Harris has been for an optimistic, hopeful, unified future going forward. Walz encouraged young people to vote and to urge others to do so. He was joined by his spouse, Gwen Walz, and Minnesota U.S. Senator Amy Klobuchar. He also made stops in Wausau and Milwaukee. Republican vice presidential candidate Ohio Senator J.D. Vance also stopped in La Crosse. Election day will be stressful, but UW Health psychologist Shyla Mergain says if you're attending a watch party, it might be nice to be around like-minded people who can help support you. Mergain says you should also avoid doom-scrolling all day and take breaks from election coverage. Mergain says another way to help cope with the stress is to find something that brings you joy and will help you distract you. Polls close at 8 tonight. You may still register to vote on Election Day in Wisconsin. You'll need a photo ID proving who you are. For most, that means a Wisconsin driver's license or ID card. If you don't have one, Wisconsin DMV offices are open until 6 this evening. Students may use student ID provided it has an expiration date. Other allowable IDs include passports and military and tribal ID cards. If your ID includes your correct current address, you're good to go. If not, you need something with that, like a lease, pay stub, bank or credit card statement, or utility bill. Find out more, including your polling place, at myvote.wi.gov. The Republican National Committee says it has filed a lawsuit against the city of Milwaukee. The RNC claims the Milwaukee Election Commission arbitrarily limited the number of observers allowed in some early in-person absentee voting locations to one from each political party, and will again do so at the polls today. Election Commission Executive Director Paulina Gutierrez said observers may be subject to reasonable limitations under authority granted chief inspectors under state law, but the Republican Party was not denied presence of an observer during in-person absentee voting, and it won't be denied today. She said city attorneys will respond to any lawsuit. One thing that's not a top headline for this election is our national park system, but conservationists wish it got more attention. Civic Media's Savannah Tomei Olson reports.
The National Parks Action Fund scorecard tallies the voting records for U.S. House members on bills about park funding, endangered species, and oil and gas development in and around parks. In Wisconsin's delegation, all six Republican House members got failing grades on the scorecard, and the two Democrats got A's. Kristen Brangle with the National Parks Action Fund says they're not trying to pick on members of Congress, but they hope the scrutiny will help change some votes moving forward.
This is just part of our value system. Do we love these places? Do we want to take care of them? Do we want to make sure they have adequate park rangers in them? And this vote is just a direct way to tell whether or not your member of Congress cares about the future of our national parks.
Overall, Bringle says more House members got Fs than As because last year the House voted to cut funding for national parks by 13%.
More details have been released on a Dane County fatal crash. Names have not been released, but the Dane County Sheriff's Office said those killed were a 55-year-old man from the Dane County village of Belleville, a 55-year-old woman, and a 54-year-old man from Crandon in northeast Wisconsin, and a 48-year-old woman and a 48-year-old man from Brooklyn Park, Minnesota. All five were killed when the 2016 Tesla Model S they were riding in left a road in the town of Verona, struck a tree, and burst into flames. The Dane County Medical Examiner's Office will release the names. Grease is the word when the popular stage production of Grease School Edition is performed at the Richland Center High School this Friday through Sunday. The family-friendly musical is set in the 1950s at Rydell High. Grease focuses on the main characters, Danny, performed by Grayson Banker, and Sandy, portrayed by Madeline Muller. The supporting cast helps bring the story to life as well. One of the more well-known characters, Frenchie, is played by Cam Schultz.
She's very well known. She's kind of known as like the airhead and like the beauty school dropout. She just doesn't know what she wants to do. She doesn't have like a drive for anything. She just wants to sit there and look pretty almost. I wear a lot of pink because she's very like girly, like frilly, very feminine. A lot of blue. I feel like that kind of symbolizes maybe a bit of like her like not knowing what to do with her life almost. She kind of gets on with everybody, but she also kind of agrees with everybody on everything. Like she likes Sandy, but she also likes Rizzo, and Rizzo originally did not like Sandy. So she's kind of like, she's for everybody.
One of the more complex individuals in the production is Marty. Maddie Huber brings that character to life.
There's a lot to her, but her main role is to seek male attention. And so that's kind of what my whole character is based around. Boys, lots of boys. But she's also a girl's girl. In the beginning, she really backs up Rizzo a lot. Like, she's always with Frenchie and Rizzo. And then as Sandy comes in, I think throughout, I start to kind of support her more. And I think that kind of helps bring the whole group together. My main boyfriend is Sonny. That's played by Joe Abde. But I'm also engaged to a Marine somewhere across the sea. And I also flirt a lot with just like various people throughout.
Leah Chambers plays Jan, the fun-loving pigtailed girl who is the youngest of the rebellious girls group, the Pink Ladies.
She's just getting along with everybody. She loves her Pink Ladies. She's close-knit with them. She gets along with everyone. She's more shy around the guys, but I feel like that's more common for girls back in the 50s, wanting to be more closer with their friends than with the guys. But she's really funny. I love her so much. She's very outspoken when she's with her ladies, so I'm glad that I get to showcase that because I'm outspoken sometimes with my friends and things I believe in. But it's different having to play someone who's shyer around guys because I don't consider myself a shy person. It's just been really fun to do something new and experience something new and playing a part.
In the musical, one of the younger greasers is a character named Roger, played by Will Bailing.
He tries to follow along with Danny and Kaneki and tries to be there whenever they're there. And he's more of a comical character. His girlfriend is Jan, so that's great to play. And he's just a fun guy. His mooning that he does, that I don't do. Other than that, he's basically me, which is really nice to do, but it's kind of challenging to change myself, too.
The Richland School District Foundation's production of Grease School Edition will be performed Friday through Sunday in the Richland High School Auditorium. Friday and Saturday's performances will be at 7. Sunday's performance will be presented at 2. Tickets are $10 for adults and will be available at the door. Veterans Day is coming up soon on Monday, November 11th. While this day honors the sacrifices military members have made for our country, it also serves as a reminder of the ongoing struggles that current service members are facing. Wisconsin In Wisconsin, over 37% of service members find it difficult to cover expenses. According to recent Household Plus survey data, members of the armed services are experiencing financial strain at higher rates than the general U.S. population. Over 40% of service members report difficulty covering their usual household expenses, compared to 36.6% of all U.S. adults. While over 71% of U.S. adults stress about recent price increases, nearly 80% of military personnel share similar feelings. A key issue service members frequently raise is that their basic allowance for housing has not kept pace with the rapidly rising cost of housing. Wisconsin's Volunteer Income Tax Assistance and Tax Counseling for the Elderly programs are ramping up for the 2025 tax season, and they need volunteers. Whether you are a student, retiree, or anyone looking to serve your community, the VITA and TCE programs offer a unique opportunity to engage with and help people in a meaningful way where building valuable skills. The VITA and TCE programs offer free tax preparation services to qualifying Wisconsin taxpayers. There is need for help in several positions, including site coordinators, reception greeters, document intake, and income tax preparation. Accounting or finance experience is not necessary to volunteer. Those helping clients, coordinating sites, and providing tax preparation services will receive formal training, making this a good opportunity to learn about federal and state law, tax laws, and preparation process while serving the communities where they live and work. Anyone interested in giving their time to either the VITA or TCE programs during the tax season from January through April 2025 should complete the following steps before November 18th. Fill out a community volunteer information form on the Department of Revenue website and contact DOR's VITA TCE program coordinator, Juan Carlos Reyes, at juan.reyes@wisconsin.gov. The Wisconsin Department of Financial Institutions has announced the Governor's Council on Financial Literacy and Capability is accepting nominations for the 2024 Governor's Financial Literacy Awards through November 22nd. The awards recognize individuals and organizations for increasing financial literacy, capability, and inclusion among Wisconsin residents. Any person providing exceptional financial literacy education or capability and inclusion practices in an innovative manner, any organization or business promoting financial literacy education or capability and inclusion practices in an innovative manner through its initiatives, and any individuals, organizations, or businesses whose purpose and heritage are ingrained in sustained financial literacy, capability, and inclusion, and whose reputation is doing so is held in high regard as to serve as a model for others in carrying on the work of supporting financial literacy and expanding opportunities and security through financial capability are all eligible for nomination. Nominations are to be submitted online at dfi.wi.gov/documents/educational-services/personal-finance/form/governors-financial-literacy-awards-nomination-form on or before November 22nd. Today's winner in the Ithaca Football Boosters Calendar Raffle is Justin Griffin.